Let me ask you something before we get going. You're inbound to a Class Charlie airport. You've got the ATIS. You're squawking the code approach gave you, and you key up and say, "Approach, Skyhawk 12345, 10 miles south, inbound, with information Bravo." And a voice comes back and says, "Aircraft calling approach, stand by." Are you cleared to enter that airspace? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And if you hesitated on that answer, don't feel bad, because that exact question has generated more confusion, more busted airspace, and more phone numbers to call after landing than almost anything else in the private pilot world. Today we're going to nail it down. By the end of this segment you're going to know, cold, the precise moment you're legally allowed to enter Class Charlie and Class Delta airspace. Not kind of. Not I think so cold. Let's walk through this together. But first, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that private pilot. Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Every one of these airspace lessons we're talking about today is a milestone you earned the hard way at the controls with your instructor sweating in the right seat. That's worth marking. AviationSoul.com. Great people, good cause, real craftsmanship. Okay, here's the setup. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, draws our airspace as a series of shapes, and around a lot of medium and large airports you're going to find Class Charlie and Class Delta. Class Delta is your typical single control tower airport, usually a little cylinder of airspace up to about 2,500 feet above the field. Class Charlie is bigger, busier, it's got radar approach control, and on the sectional chart it looks like two solid magenta rings stacked up, an inner ring and a shelf. Now, here's what almost every student learns first, and it's correct as far as it goes. To enter Class Delta or Class Charlie, you do not need a clearance. Read that again. You do not need a clearance. That word, clearance, belongs to Class Bravo and to instrument flying. For Charlie and Delta, the magic phrase in the regulations is different. It's two-way radio communication. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.130 covers Class Charlie. 91.129 covers Class Delta. And they both say the same essential thing. Before you enter that airspace, you have to establish two-way radio communication with the controlling facility and then maintain it while you're in there. So the entire question becomes, what does established two-way radio communication actually mean? When is it established? And this is where the FAA did us a real favor, because they defined it precisely. Not vaguely. Precisely. Here's the rule. And I want you to tattoo this on the inside of your headset. Two-way radio communication is established the moment the controller reads back your call sign. That's it. When you call up and say who you are and where you are, and the controller comes back with your November number or your type and number in their transmission, you are now legally established. You may enter, even if they don't tell you to do anything else. The simple act of them saying your call sign is the FAA's bright line. Let's make that concrete, because concrete is how this sticks. Scenario 1, you call up. Springfield Tower, Skyhawk 12345, 5 miles west, inbound for landing, with Charlie, and the tower says, Skyhawk 12345, Springfield Tower, enter left downwind, runway 13, report midfield. Easy, they said. Your call sign, you're established, you're cleared to be in the airspace. Enter and fly the pattern. No ambiguity. Scenario 2, and this is the one that trips people up. You call up, Springfield Tower, Skyhawk 12345, 5 miles west, inbound, and the tower, who is slammed with traffic, says, Skyhawk 12345, stand by. Now, a lot of pilots here stand by, and they think, oh, they told me to wait, I better hold outside the airspace. And that instinct feels responsible. But look at what actually happened. The controller said your call sign. 12345. That means two-way radio communication is established. You are legally cleared to enter that Class Delta or Class Charlie airspace, even though all they said was stand by. Stand by means I heard you. Hold on for further instructions. Not, you may not enter. So in scenario 2, you're legal to proceed in. Now I want to add a big fat piece of real-world judgment on top of that legality in just a second. But get the regulation straight first. Call sign readback equals established equals legal entry. Scenario 3, the one where you are not established, you call up. Springfield Tower, Skyhawk 12345, 5 miles west inbound. And the controller says, "Aircraft calling Springfield Tower, stand by, aircraft calling. Not your call sign. They did not identify you specifically." That is a generic acknowledgement that somebody keyed up and it does not establish two-way communication with you. If you enter now, you have busted the airspace. You stay out. You circle. You slow down. You do a 360 out there in Class Echo or Class Golf where you're legal, and you wait until they come back and actually say your number. So there's your test, and it's a clean one. Did they say my specific call sign? Yes, I'm in. No, I stay out. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The trap isn't the rule. The rule is simple. The trap is your own nerves. When you're a low-time pilot and a fast-talking approach controller rattles off a wall of instructions to three other airplanes and then throws November 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, stand by at you, your brain is so busy trying not to sound dumb on the radio that you completely lose track of whether they said your number or not. So you freeze. You either barge in when you shouldn't or you sit outside the ring, legal and cleared, too scared to go in. The fix is to listen for exactly one thing on that first exchange, your call sign. Everything else is secondary. Did they say your number? That's the whole game on entry. Now let me pour the real-world judgment back on top, because I promised I would and because glossing over this would be doing you a disservice. Legal to enter and smart to enter are not always the same sentence. Go back to scenario 2, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, standby. Yes, you are legally established, but that controller just told you they're too busy to deal with you yet. They have not given you a pattern entry, they have not told you about traffic. They may be working a jet on a 3-mile final that you can't see. So the fact that you can legally cross that magenta line does not mean you should just press in toward the runway at cruise speed like you own the place. What a sharp pilot does there is enter if geometry demands it, but stay wide, stay slow, keep your head on a swivel, and be ready. You give that controller room to catch up. Being legal is the floor, being safe is the goal. The examiner is looking for a pilot who knows the reg cold and then applies good judgment on top of it, not one who hides behind, well, technically I was allowed. And that brings me to the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS. If you're prepping for your private check ride, airspace lives in the area of operation on pre-flight preparation, and your examiner is absolutely going to probe this. They will not just ask what's the vertical limit of Class Charlie. Anybody can memorize 4,000 feet above the field, they're going to give you a scenario. They'll say, you call the tower and they say stand by. What do you do? And they are listening to hear whether you understand the difference between your call sign being read back and a generic aircraft calling. That's the discriminator. That's the answer that tells them you actually understand the airspace instead of having flashcarded it. Let me give you a couple more practical pieces while we're in here, because airspace refreshers are only worth anything if they change what you do on your next flight. First, on the equipment side, Class Charlie has requirements. Class Delta doesn't. To operate in and above Class Charlie, you need an operable transponder with Mode C. That's the altitude reporting transponder. And since 2020, you also need ADS-B out, automatic dependent surveillance broadcast. Class Delta by itself, the little tower cylinder, does not require a transponder to be inside it, though the overlying airspace usually does. Know your specific airport, because a lot of Delta towers sit under a Bravo or Charlie shelf that changes the answer. Second, the call itself. Give the controller a clean first transmission, and you're far more likely to get your call sign read right back to you on the first try. The format is simple. Who you're calling, who you are, where you are, and what you want. Springfield approach, Skyhawk 12345, 15 miles south at 3500, inbound for landing with information Delta. Notice I put the ATS code in there on a Class Charlie initial call-up, telling them you have the current ATS saves an entire exchange and gets you established faster. That's a little pro move that costs you nothing. Third, leaving the airspace. The reg says maintain two-way communication while you're in there. That means you don't just go silent and wander out. If you're told to maintain your own navigation or you're departing the area, you keep that radio relationship alive until the controller cuts you loose, usually with frequency change approved, or a handoff or radar service terminated, squawk, VFR. Don't orphan yourself off the frequency while you're still inside the shape. Let me tie a bow on the core idea, because I want it to be the thing you carry out of here. Clearance is a Bravo word for Charlie and Delta. The word is communication, and communication is established the instant the controller says your call sign back to you. Your specific call sign. If they say it, you're in, even if all they said after it was standby. If they say aircraft calling, they haven't talked to you yet, and you stay outside that ring until they do. That one distinction has kept a lot of pilots out of the FAA's phone booth after a busted airspace, and it's the kind of thing that, once it clicks, you'll never fumble again on the radio or in the oral. Here's your homework for the next flight. Pull up the sectional for the nearest Charlie or Delta to your home field. Look at the rings. Find the frequencies. And next time you fly near one, listen. Really listen. For the moment your call sign comes back, feel that moment. That's the door opening. Once you can hear it happening in real time. This stops being a memorized rule and becomes something you just know in your bones. The regulations I walked through today come straight out of Federal Aviation Regulations 91-2029 and 91-430, and the FAA's own Aeronautical Information Manual spells out that call sign definition if you want to read it in their words. Go look it up, trust the source. If you want the sectional excerpts and the call-up examples written out, they're posted over at radiohangar.com. That's the airspace for today. Fly a little sharper, listen a little closer, and I'll see you back here in the pattern.